In May 2025, I rode along with the research firm SemiAnalysis on a data center information field trip in Malaysia and Singapore. They did not sponsor this video, I paid my own way. We drove out to actual data center sites, we went through some impressive security, and sat down with the operators to talk about their jobs and the industry. And to an extent, we went inside. I was allowed to photograph a few things. In other places, I can only do a quick and ugly sketch. The data center boom in Southeast Asia is hot, but challenges loom due to shortages in certain resources, as well as world geopolitics. In today's video, some first-hand notes and observations from the heart of the data center boom in Southeast Asia. But first, I want to remind you of the Asianometry Patreon. Early access members get to see new videos first with references attached. Some of my best idea suggestions have come via the Patreon. Early access is one of the best ways to support the channel. I appreciate all of you. Thank you. And on with the show. Per conversations with industry old-timers, the Southeast Asian data center boom began in the early 2000s in Singapore. In 2000, Singtel and another telecom set up a small data center on the island, working in conjunction with some of Singapore's larger real estate businesses. They also helped set up the first connection cables in the area. Other companies, regional players like Keppel and global players like Equinix, followed soon afterwards. Those companies then connected to each other to offer faster data exchange. And thus emerged Singapore's Data Center Alley, one of the world's largest such concentrated hubs. There seems to be two data center alleys in Singapore, so I'm told, one in the east and the other the west. But the data center industry's growth soon outpaced Singapore's ability to provide sufficient amounts of water and power. In 2019, the country placed a moratorium on new data center builds, though investments in pre-existing developments can continue. So developers moved over to Malaysia or Indonesia, where power and water are more plentiful. But they still often site their campuses close to Singapore so they can connect to the island nation's fiber cable connections to the rest of the world. It might be helpful now to take a pause for a quick briefing on the anatomies of data centers. The data center must host and power various types of IT equipment 24/7. So they are built to be, essentially, big standalone computers with facilities and equipment for networking, storage, compute, power supply, and cooling. The data center operator builds the facility, secures the water and power supply, patrols the perimeter for intruders, and on the whole makes sure that the facility operates without incident per the service level agreement. The customer brings in the chips and IT equipment that goes into the racks and uses the facility. They often lease the facility for an extended period of time, maybe 10 years or so. For being such a simple design, data centers can come in a whole variety of shapes and sizes. We observed a small legacy data center, now largely empty, located inside the basement of an office building. This tiny data center once served a multinational corporation. The space's owner points out its close proximity to a large Equinix data center and muses that it can serve a CDN provider. Alongside those, we have medium-sized, multi-floor data centers for multiple tenants, government, telecoms, regional IT companies. These tend to use about a dozen megawatts or so per floor. And then there are the truly massive facilities built and owned by the tech giants in the United States and China. Most of these facilities are essentially black boxes, with little information about how they do things or what they use. But the equipment inside will also differ. Almost all the data centers we visited in Southeast Asia were cloud servers. They had meaty CPUs, hard disk drives, and networking to run programs on the cloud. When COVID shut down the world, it ultra-charged demand for cloud IT services like Zoom or TikTok. Apparently, this is what first kicked off the most recent data center boom. Soon afterwards, AI picked up the baton. Widely used chatbots like ChatGPT and Claude are more compute-thirsty than almost any other prior software service product. The data centers that train or run inference for these AI services are often called AI factories by Jensen Huang and others in the industry. They take in power and electrons and generate tokens. The goal is to produce as many tokens as possible efficiently. So as you drive over the bridge, leaving Singapore to enter into Malaysia, you realize you are in an entirely different place. We took a more scenic route to the first data centers, which gave us a chance to see the villages and the countryside. Malaysia has what feels like an embarrassment of land. Most of the land we saw on our drive is covered by oil palms, a huge business there. It's a tree that regularly sprouts these bunches of fresh fruits that can be harvested and crushed to create palm oil. Palm oil is useful as a cooking oil, food product ingredient, cosmetic ingredient, or even biodiesel. But the oil palm has been criticized for incentivizing widespread rainforest destruction, and driving through, I can get what they mean. Whatever was once there has been long obliterated. All that is left are these rows of oil palms, and it stretches as far as the eye can see. After about 45 minutes of driving, we arrive at a massive data center cluster region in an area called Setanak. The experience reminds me of first visiting the semiconductor fabs of Tainan. All of a sudden, the green grass recedes, and you can suddenly see these huge facilities spanning multiple blocks. This land hosts several data center campuses owned and operated by companies I've never heard of. As I learned a little later, this was a deliberate decision on behalf of those companies. Land in Malaysia, you can get it pretty easily, but will that land have access to water and power? A major reason why this particular site exists, where it does, is because the national electricity utility Tenaga Nasional was building a substation there. This attracted the attention of one of the US tech giants who agreed to invest some 10 years ago. Then in 2021 and 2022, several smaller data center operators began moving into the area on the behalf of their clients. Today, those smaller operators take up the majority of the current region. The tech giant who started all this has barely a presence there now. The land is being developed by a subsidiary of a state-owned company called the Johor Corporation, which also runs, among other things, a chain of fast food restaurants. It's for this reason that I find the lack of convenient fast food there intolerable. The data center campus is entirely fenced off. We arrive at the gate and a security detail meets us outside. Before being allowed inside, the security guards take our phones and lock them inside clear plastic bags, like as if we're taking them on a scuba dive. We can still use the phones, but only through the bags, and the plastic strategically blocks the cameras. This particular site is one of several in the campus, but it's the largest of the bunch. It's anticipated to be one of the largest in the country, sized at several hundred megawatts in total. It's being built in phases across three massive plots, and it's interesting to see how its customer has changed their approach over time. The first phase began in 2023, and it looks to me that those buildings were built extremely hastily. A lot of the power and cooling equipment had been prefabricated on site at the factory in China. They were then shipped in standard shipping containers and installed on site, and this way let them get something up in less than a year. For later phases, however, the operator and customer decided that approach was not worth the compromises it forced upon them. So they decided later to go for a more integrated construction approach, despite that it results in a larger ramp-up time, 18 months to 2 years. Inside the data center, we walk down these long, empty hallways, just think of an industrial warehouse or Costco, to tour the various support rooms. The facility's heart is its data hall. It houses the server computers and other IT equipment, usually in these horizontal racks. We were generally not allowed into the data halls. Getting inside means possibly getting direct access to customer data, which is a big deal. Fences and subdivisions inside the data hall are common. Some customers might be so strict and secretive that they erect privacy screens to keep people from even seeing inside. The rooms themselves are clean, but Spartan. Concrete with high ceilings and might contain equipment from companies like Schneider Electric for routing power, stepping down high voltage power from the grid, and circuit breaking. One memorable room contained chillers, basically large fridges. The equipment in the data halls run very hot, And to cool this equipment, almost every data center operator here outside of the hyperscalers blow air through the data halls. The air heats up and is then collected and cooled with massive chillers. For this one building, the operator said that there are 4 chiller rooms. 3 of them are constantly operating, with the 4th held idle as a contingency. It's important that the DCs can switch to backup sources of power in case something happens with the grid. This includes battery power and backup diesel generators. I recall visiting one warehouse filled with rows upon rows of diesel fuel drums. I asked them about hiring and training talents, and they told me that it was a massive challenge. Junior people are hired right out of Malaysian universities and trained internally, mostly electrical engineering or HVAC majors or similar. That being said, I did not see many people on site. During the day, the site might have 1 or 2 dozen people on the premises. During the night shifts, half a dozen maybe? After that visit, we visited about 5 or 6 more data centers. I shall spare you the write-up, since once you've seen one, you've sort of seen them all, but there are a few interesting differences. One that stood out to me, maybe just because I've done a few videos about it, are the batteries. Battery rooms are essential, and some of the more recent battery rooms feature lithium-ion batteries made by Cadel. But there are plenty others with simple lead-acid batteries. Operators explained that a recent spate of battery fires in data centers had caused some consternation from the local governments about lithium ion. One hazard of Johor is flooding. It apparently floods more than a few times a year during the monsoon season. More than a few companies in the area emphasize their anti-flooding measures. Another thing that caught my attention is what seems to be the lack of liquid cooling amongst the non-hyperscalers. To me, liquid cooling is a sign that the data center is running power-hungry AI hardware inside its data hall. Operators will never tell you what is running inside their data halls, and I don't think their customers tell them either. But you can make a good guess based on the customer's requests for power and what cooling system they want to use. If it's a single-floor building that uses a lot of power or uses liquid cooling, it's most likely running AI workloads. Operators asked us about this too. More than a few times, we were asked the question, have you spoken to anyone who is using liquid cooling? I'm somewhat sure that the hyperscalers are running it, but everyone else seems like no. We did visit one data center that does do liquid cooling, but let me cover that trip in a future video. The hyperscalers are still interested in Malaysia, but there are indications that the data center boom there is starting to grow long in the tooth. In 2025, the sentiment within the industry seems to be that getting the water and power, mostly the power, allocated for a brand new greenfield data center project would be very difficult. Again, I'm told that the limitations are not about actual power generation, Malaysia has plenty of hydrocarbons to burn, but distribution. How can we get the power over there? One recent case of a medium-sized non-AI data center saw the land procured in early February 2024. Securing the water took another month, but securing the power took into November. And then the actual construction of the power connections will take until May 2026. The center is estimated to finish the next month, with the customer getting the keys in October 2026. We were told that this timeline would be even worse if you started in 2025 rather than even just a year prior in 2024. So, in light of these restrictions, companies are looking for other areas of expansion within Southeast Asia. But where else in the region can they go? There seems to be some growing interest in Australia by hyperscalers, and this led to some data center growth in Sydney, which then caused the state government to consider a ban on new data centers. Since then, interest has moved over to the city of Melbourne, and the chatter seems to be that AWS Amazon might want to make that city their major AI hub for the APAC area, assuming that they don't ban data center builds there either. As for Indonesia, Jakarta announced a great deal of new projects in 2021 and 2022, and those are kind of still on the way, but there has not been as many new projects since then, though Google is expanding a cloud region there. Demand seems to be an issue. Microsoft recently made business headlines for pausing work on a Jakarta site, part of what has been reported as a larger pulling back. Other options include the Philippines and Vietnam, but like with Indonesia, there seems to be insufficient demand for both countries, even for cloud services, let alone AI. Someone in Vietnam told me that occupancy rates for national data center projects are under 20%. Another impediment in the case of Vietnam is the requirement to work with a local partner like FPT, Vietnam's so-called AI unicorn. At $6 billion, FTP is their most valuable listed tech firm. Working in Vietnam also means getting into bed with the communist government. FTP's founder is the son-in-law of the legendary general Vo Nguyen Giap, former commander-in-chief of the army and former secretary of the Central Military Commission. So, the data center builders have targeted Thailand as the quote-unquote next Malaysia. Thailand has plentiful water and energy, living costs are not insane, the government is somewhat business-friendly, and demand seems to be good. Probably the thing most in shortage are general contractors to build these projects. Google and Amazon are starting off in Thailand with small first phases that they are expected to scale up over the years. Google says that they'll invest $1 billion there. ByteDance is also rumored to be hunting for space too. There is also a local player there, Siam AI, an NVIDIA partner. They're associated with the politically powerful Shinawatra clan and have announced that they would build the country's largest AI data center, 100 megawatts. The chip geopolitics, particularly regarding GPUs, are ever-present here. By far, the majority of the hyperscalers building in Malaysia and Thailand are American, Microsoft, Google, and AWS. Oracle is a recent new name on the market. But it's also obvious on the ground that the Chinese are building here and very fast. A number of the data center operators have Chinese or Chinese via Singaporean origins. Many of the equipment suppliers and even construction companies are Chinese. And the ultimate end users are Chinese, Alibaba a bit, Tencent too, but ByteDance is the unquestioned giant. TikTok is legitimately booming in Southeast Asia, and they have a very large office in Singapore where they do an extensive amount of AI research. The Chinese data center operators have taken steps recently to appear less Chinese. This might include a corporate separation and rebranding. For example, the Chinese data center firm GDS had an international arm that they separated out and renamed to Day One. As far as I know, it's legal for the Chinese hyperscalers to rent AI GPU time so long as the data center operators and actual owners of the GPUs are not Chinese. Don't quote me on that, though. But it is not clear whether Southeast Asian countries, Malaysia in particular, can secure said GPUs. One operator in Malaysia says that he was not sure whether export controls like the recently repealed AI diffusion laws were an issue. Or to be more precise, their customers have not said anything to them about it, and they are not sure how it is being dealt with. I reckon, in the end, it is up to the individual trade deal that Malaysia ends up striking with the Americans, and Malaysia is working hard to balance both sides. One such kerfuffle recently happened when a government official said in a speech that Malaysian companies would buy and use Huawei's Ascend AI chips. Except the US government has since said that it would consider anyone using Huawei chips anywhere in the world to be in violation of export controls. This triggered a very rapid turnaround on the whole matter by the Malaysian government. It's not clear whether or not the plan is still on the way. Anyway, as of this writing, the current mood is hopeful. It's hopeful that a deal will be struck and NVIDIA AI chips will soon be allowed back into areas seen as more quote-unquote okay, and data center progression there can continue. Again, I want to thank SemiAnalysis and especially Dan for this opportunity. It was a truly amazing experience. I can get why some might not find data centers all that interesting. The companies running them are super discreet, and many people in the industry readily acknowledge that the whole thing, investment-wise, is a real estate and infrastructure play. But these are where the chips live, and it is where the current bottlenecks are as well. The whole AI supply chain is like an engine. It needs the exact right amounts of air, fuel, and spark to go. If these ingredients are not present in the right form or amount, then the engine will sputter and roll to a stop. A year or so ago, the bottleneck was TSMC's advanced packaging capacity. But TSMC has ramped up to such an extent that that is no longer the case. I even caught some random chatter of CoWoS order reductions. Right now, the constraints are in power, full stop. These AI factories require unprecedented amounts of power, and it is taking literally years to connect them to the grid. Clearing out these bottlenecks, however, will not come quickly. Malaysia, as a data center hub, seems to be on the wane. Thailand is ascending, but with politics the way they are, things can shift in an instant. Alright everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sub for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.